Turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. Book of Ephesians, chapter 4. We want to read the first verse. Ephesians 4, verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. This chapter commences the practical portion of the book of Ephesians. Paul begins this section of the book by stating the basis of what he was about to say. We see that in the words, I therefore. Therefore is a connective word, a transitional word, indicative of the fact that he's building upon something previously said. He's drawing our attention back to the first three chapters, where he laid the foundation of the doctrine of salvation by grace. In addition to stating the basis of what he was about to say, notice he also states his present circumstances. He is the prisoner of the Lord. The book of Ephesians, of course, was written by Paul while he was confined in prison for the cause of Christ. He says, I was the prisoner of the Lord. That is, he viewed his circumstances, he viewed his imprisonment as willed and ordered by the Lord, and not as an exemption from his responsibilities. He then makes a plea. He says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech thee, that is, I beg you, I plead with you. This, of course, those words express the importance of what he's about to say, express the urgency of what he's about to say. And what he says from this point on is with great compassion, great conviction, and the experience of one who knows. He says, I beseech thee that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. That you walk. That means that you live. That you walk worthy. That is, becoming of, suitable to, and in a manner fitting of the vocation. Now, vocation is a function. It's our function. It's our occupation. It's our business. He says, I beseech thee that you walk worthy of the vocation, wherewith, by means of which, ye are called. So we are called, you and I that are saved, we are called to a vocation. That is, we have a function. We have an occupation, we have a business to do. Paul is pleading with them and us. What he is saying is, considering what God has done for you, again it goes back to the first three chapters, the therefore, considering what God has done for you, considering the state and condition that God has called you to, he says, I make earnest request of you that you behave, that you act, that you conduct, that you carry yourselves in a way that is in harmony with your calling or with your vocation to which you are called. Rest of the book, he gives detailed applications to the vocation wherewith we're called. Now, chapters 1 through 3 state the theological belief. Chapters 4 through 6 state the behavior based upon the theological belief. Chapters 1 through 3 state the doctrine. Chapters 4 through 6 state the duty in light of the doctrine. Chapters 1 through 3 states the wealth that we have by the grace of God. Chapters 4 through 6 state how we are to walk, what is to be manifest in our life. So Paul spent 3 chapters telling us what God has done for us, what He has given us, what He has provided for us in and through Christ. He has spent 3 chapters telling us how that God has reached out to us in love, in grace, in mercy, and in goodness. Now, after spending 3 chapters telling us all that God has done in saving our soul, he now says, walk worthy. Walk worthy of what God has done. It is important to note that God's work for us, Ephesians 1 through 3, is first of all mentioned before our response to God, chapter 4. Just the opposite of the mainstream teaching of today that says that man must do his work in order that God respond to him. If you're caught up in that I work that God might respond syndrome, your relationship with the Lord will suffer greatly, if it even exists. Because our works are always failing. Our works are always feeble. What we need to realize is that it is my response to what God has done that is my concern. Not trying to get God to respond to me. Our response to what God has done is to walk worthy. I'm going to speak this evening on life calling. Life calling goes very much along with the message that we preached this morning. I want to consider 2 main points. The vocation of calling involved in salvation. And then secondly, Paul's plea to live that calling. But you and I that are saved, we have a life calling. This is not something that's temporary. This is not something that comes and goes. We have a life calling. And we need to view our life as a calling. Now consider, first of all, the vocation or calling involved in salvation. We believe in an effectual call to salvation. In our unsaved condition, according to Ephesians 1 and 2, mostly chapter 2, we were held in the chains and grip of spiritual death. That means we were helpless. That means that we were spiritually incapacitated. Goes on to say that we were in bondage to Satan. That means we were imprisoned. We were held in the chains of sin. We were held in the chains of evil and of wickedness. We were in the chains of corruption. We were in the chains of guilt and error and ignorance and misery. And we were in great danger because we were also in a state of condemnation. We were in a state of alienation. We were in a state of estrangement from God. Bible teaches in Romans 8 that we were in a state of enmity. We were in a state of spiritual bankruptcy. So there we were in our unsaved condition. We were hopelessly trapped in the depths of spiritual darkness. We sat in darkness, we walked in darkness, we were covered with darkness, we were full of darkness, living the life of a sinner against God. To summarize our condition, Paul stated in Ephesians 2 in verse 12 that at that time, ye were without Christ. That is the greatest deficiency in all the world. To be without Christ. Because to be without Christ means you have nothing. Nothing. Means you have no hope. You have no assurance. Those two words, without Christ, are not only the summary of our past condition, but it is the summary of the present condition of every unsaved sinner today. And there's not enough words in the human language to adequately describe the depth of the wretchedness that lies in those two words, without Christ. There is not enough words in the human language to adequately describe the depth of poverty involved in those two words, without Christ. There's no words to express how desperate that is without Christ. There are no words in the human language to adequately describe the degradation of those words without Christ. Without Christ, there is no greater crisis than a sinner enslaved in sin. There is no greater danger than a sinner enslaved in sin. There is no greater problem. There is no greater need. And there is nothing of more dire consequence than a sinner without Jesus Christ. But that was our condition before we were saved. Now, if you're not saved tonight, that is still your condition. But for you and I that are saved, it was while we were in that condition and state that there came a call. It was a call from above. We read in Hebrews 3 and verse 1 that we, the saved, are partakers of a heavenly calling. Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. We are partakers of a heavenly calling. Now think about that calling. Remember our condition. It was a call that penetrated through the grave of spiritual death. That's a powerful call. It was a call that pierced through the dense darkness that we were in. It was a call that penetrated through the ignorance that we were all in. It was a call that bore through the walls of imprisonment and reached us in our alienation and estrangement from God. It was a call that went down into the depths of sin. A call that went down into the depths of misery. A call that went down into the depths of condemnation and alienation and enmity. It was a call that went down into the depths of our helplessness, overpowering our heart and drawing our heart to embrace Jesus Christ. It is a call that resulted in deliverance. It was a call that resulted in rescue and restoration. It was a call that resulted in reclamation. It is a call in which one's sins are forgiven. Their burdens are lifted. Life is liberated. In other words, it is a call that results in a dramatic change. It is referred to in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 9. We read, God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Galatians 5 and verse 13, we read, we have been called unto liberty. We were in bondage, but we've been called unto liberty. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 17, it is referred to as a call unto holiness. In 2 Timothy 1 and verse 9, who hath called us with a holy calling. That is, God Himself called us from our sins. And in so doing, He set us apart for Himself. If you have received that call, you have been set apart by God and for God. This call takes us from the common and sets us apart for holy uses. Notice 1 Peter 2 and verse 9, it is a call out of darkness into, out of, into, out of darkness into His marvelous light. It is a call again that resulted in a dramatic change. It is a call that made a difference. Philippians 3 and verse 14, Paul refers to it as the high calling of God. It is a calling higher and greater than any other calling. It is not limited. This call is not limited. This call that we received at salvation is not limited to just a call to come to Christ in salvation. But included in that call is a call to die to sin, a call to be crucified to the world, a call to live by faith, a call to serve God, a call to submit to God, a call to worship God and to live in fellowship with God. This call that penetrated through the grave of spiritual death and that pierced through the dense darkness and ignorance that we were in, and that bore through the walls of our imprisonment and reached us in our alienation and in our estrangement, was a call that drew us to repentance and faith. And it is a call that is unchangeable. We read in Romans 11 and verse 29 that the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. That is, once God calls us, He never, ever goes back on His call. Never. It is a call founded upon His purposes. We are referred to in Romans 8 and verse 28 as the called according to His purpose. And His purposes are immutable, that is, they do not change. God did not call us by mistake. God was not calling someone else and we accidentally heard. He called us according to His purpose. This call of God raised us up. This call of God stirred us from the depths of sin, stirred us from the depths of alienation and enmity and rebellion, and brought us out of helplessness, brought us out of hopelessness, brought us out of spiritual bankruptcy. It is not a call that left us in the misery of sin. It is a call that lifted us out of the misery of sin. Oh, what a call. It is a call that ought to thrill our soul. Just thinking about the fact that God called us ought to thrill our souls. It ought to fill our hearts with joy. It ought to fill us with passion. It ought to fill us with zeal. It ought to captivate us. It ought to enthrall us. Now, in light of this call, hear what Paul has to say. Walk worthy of the vocation, of the purpose wherewith you're called. And that brings us to our second point, Paul's plea to live our calling. For you and I, they're saved. Go back to the day that the Lord saved your soul. Go back to that time. There you were in the grave of spiritual death, in the bondage of sin, living in darkness, walking according to the course of this world. Ephesians chapter 2 makes all this very plain. And there came a call. And that call has made all the difference. Paul's plea to them who have heard this heavenly and effectual call is walk. That is, live and conduct yourself worthy. The word worthy means becoming of, suitable to, in a manner fitting of the vocation, again of the function, the occupation, the business, wherewith, by means of which, ye are called. The teaching of these words is that our behavior and our life should correspond to our salvation. It is a plea for a becoming life, to live a life becoming of one saved by the grace of God. It is a call to show forth the virtues of the one who called you. What is stated here in Ephesians 4 and verse 1 is stated three times in different words in Ephesians chapter 1. Notice in Ephesians 1 verse 6, he mentions, in beginning with verse 3, he mentions several blessings that we have. And then verse 6, he says, to the praise of the glory of his grace. That's the same as saying, walk worthy. To the praise of the glory of his grace. Verse 12, after again mentioning several blessings that we have, that we should be to the praise of his glory. And then in verse 14, after mentioning a few other blessings, the latter part of that verse says, unto the praise of his glory. And we read in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Paul is saying the same thing in Ephesians 4, verse 1. We are to be to the praise of his glory. That is, we are to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called. Again, we have received a heavenly calling. And that which is heavenly takes precedence over that which is earthly. We have earthly callings. But the heavenly calling, the day God called you, that call again penetrated the grave of spiritual death where you were. And that call takes precedence over every earthly call. What earthly call can possibly compare with a call that reached you in the grave of spiritual death? and bore through the walls of your imprisonment and caused you to rise up out of sin and flee to Christ. It is a heavenly call and it takes precedence. It is a life calling and it takes precedence over every other call. It is an effectual calling that overpowered our heart and drew us to the Lord. And such a call should continue to have a drawing power upon our lives. God, when He called you to salvation, that was just not a momentary call. It is a life call. And just as it drew you that day, it is to continue to draw you to Christ. It is a holy calling that set us apart for God, that made an inward difference in our lives. That call immediately made an inward difference in our lives. It immediately made an outward difference in our lives. And thanks be to God, it made an eternal difference in our life. That is our life calling. And it takes precedence over everything else. Having been the recipients of this call, it now becomes our main vocation in life to be to the praise of His glory. This is our vocation. That is, this is our purpose. This is our occupation. This is our function. This is our business. This is what demands our attention. This call. It is a call, again, that takes precedence over all other callings. I'm afraid that many of God's people have forgotten their calling. You need to go back. If you have forgotten, you need to go back to when you lived in the prison cell of sin. You need to go back there. And you need to remember the day when you heard that call. Don't ever forget it. I'm afraid, again, many have forgotten their calling. But it is the realization of this calling that causes us to keep our priorities in order. The world calls us to do a lot of things. We call ourselves to do a lot of things. But everything in this life is to center around this calling. It is a life calling from God. It is a calling that gives us a foundation on which to base everything. Our calling is the foundation on which we are to base our decisions. We're faced with decisions every day. And our calling is the base. It's what we base our decisions upon, or should be. It is the foundation of which to allocate our time. I have a life calling. It's not just preachers that are called. Every child of God has a life calling. To be to the praise of His glory. It is in relation to this calling that we are to allocate our time. It is in relation to this calling that we are to use our resources. It is the realization that I have a life calling from God that keeps everything in perspective. We may suffer. We may have joy. There will be bad times, there will be good times. But there must be the realization, no matter what the circumstance, I have a life calling, and it's to serve God. It is a life calling. Everything centers around this calling. It is the realization of this calling that enables us to loosen our grip on the things of this world. When you realize, when it gets a hold of you, that you have a life calling from God, you won't hold too tight to the things of this world. You'll be willing to let go. It is also the realization of our calling that prevents us from assigning a false value to the things of the world. Oh, how often we do that. We assign, it's in our nature. We assign a false value to the things of the world. And like Esau in Hebrews chapter 12, we have a tendency to devalue spiritual things. But it is a realization that I have a life calling that will prevent me from assigning a false value to the things of the world and from devaluing spiritual things. It is realization of our main calling that helps us to concentrate upon the things that matter, upon the things that are really important. What we consider our main calling, whatever you consider that to be, that will determine where you live and how you live. Our calling. If your calling is a job, you'll follow that job all over the country. If your calling is from the Lord and you realize that's your main calling, you're only going where God wants you to go, no matter what the job is or any other thing. Family. You can follow family all over the country. That's not your calling. That's not your calling. Well, I want to be closer to my grandkids. I want to be closer to my children, so I'm going to move. That's not your calling. Your calling is to serve God. And therefore, you're to be where God would have you to be. If we're going to truly serve the Lord, we must always be mindful of our main vocation, of our main call. We are partakers of a call. We have a vocation that God has given us. And that vocation is to be our life. Again, what you consider your main calling will determine what you live for. Your main calling is what matters most to you. Our greatest commitment is to be to our main calling. And all of the expectations and constantly changing demands of this world are not to deter us from our main vocation. We are called by God. It really all comes back to this all-important principle that we mention all the time: keep the main thing the main thing. And the spiritual, in a relationship with the Lord, is the main thing. It's always the main thing. And it's the realization that I have a life calling that enables us to keep the main thing the main thing. You see, we must be careful that we do not put stumbling blocks in the way of our main calling, that we do not fill the path with rubbish so that we cannot carry out our main calling. It is all about remembering your purpose in life. And that purpose of life, believe it or not, is greater than personal fulfillment. You ought to find personal fulfillment in serving God. It's greater than peace of mind. You ought to find peace of mind in the Lord. It's greater than happiness. It's greater than your family. It's greater than your dreams, your ambitions, your goals. You see, a lot of people have ambitions and goals. And we're not against ambition. We're not against goals as long as they don't get in the way of the main calling. They get in the way of the main calling, you have a wrong ambition. You have a wrong goal. And you're going to pursue the wrong thing. A calling implies responsibility. Again, we have many earthly callings. We're called to be fathers. We're called to be mothers. We're called to be husbands and wives, aunts and uncles, and on it goes. We have callings as far as the secular world, as far as where we work, and all these are callings. But it's not the main calling. It's not the main calling. It's never the main calling. We're called of God, therefore we have a responsibility to God. We must ask ourselves, can there be a greater responsibility than our responsibility to God? I've asked this question many times to people who say, well, I have to do this. It's my children or whatever. Is there a greater responsibility than your responsibility to God? No, there isn't. There never is. Can there be anything that ought to take precedence over our responsibility to God? You see, our responsibility is to walk worthy. We read in 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 12 that you would walk worthy of the Lord who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. Our whole course of life should be to conduct ourselves as children of God should. To act in accordance with the character of whose name we bear. We bear the name of God. We bear the name of Christ. Do you realize the responsibility of bearing the name of Christ? None of us here want to bring, we have a respect for our family name. And no one wants to bring shame to their family name. But there's something even more important. You bear the name of Christ. There's no greater responsibility. We must always remember who we are. We must always remember to whom we belong. And we are to conduct ourselves in light of those facts. We are to love Him. We are to trust Him completely. We are to obey Him wholeheartedly. We are to thank Him continually. We are to use everything that we have for Him. And this is so in every circumstance, in every place, and in every aspect of our lives. So Paul begins this practical section of the book by saying, walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. And if you read through the book of Ephesians, you'll see in verses 2 through 7 of Ephesians chapter 4, He carries this on in the church life. When it comes to church, walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. When it comes to church, remember this, you have a life calling. You're not just to fit in church wherever it's convenient. You have a life calling. And it carries over into church. You read verses 17 through 20 of chapter 4. And he talks about our everyday public lives. We have a main calling. We have a life calling. And it is to carry forth in our everyday public lives. You cannot separate. You're called to salvation from your public life. It's not separate boxes. But we are to remember that we have a life calling. Whatever we are called to do in public life, that is not our life calling. We have a life calling, and it came from God. You go on and you read in Ephesians 5, verses 22 through 33, this is carried over into our married lives. We have a life calling. Yes, married life, there's responsibilities and there are callings involved in married life. Husbands are called to provide for their wives, to provide for their children. That's a calling, but it's not your main calling. It's not your life calling. You have but one life calling. God called us to salvation. He called us to live for Him. You go on in Ephesians 6 verses 1 through 4 and he goes beyond marriage to our family lives, to fathers and children and mothers and children. And our life calling carries over into our family lives. You see, one of the big problems we have today is people want to keep religion confined to a couple days a week. You won't find that anywhere in the Word of God. Then you go on in Ephesians 6, verses 5 through 9. Whether you are an employee or an employer, you have a life calling. And your employment does not take precedence over your life calling. The standard reply is, well, God understands. Show me that in the Word of God. Show me where it says that. Show me where that's implied. Just show me. It's not there. You have a life calling. And everything is the center, and everything is to be subordinate to that life calling. So in every aspect, in every phase of our lives, we're always to remember this. Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. I'm glad that I have a life calling. Because a calling makes it plain what I'm to live for. A calling sets the parameters of my life. A calling gives direction in our lives. One of the reasons for all the confusion amongst God's people, one of the reasons for all the rubbish and all the clutter amongst God's people, is because they have left their main calling and have pursued other callings. And that'll bring a lot of confusion to your life. That'll bring a lot of unnecessary grief to your life. But it's really pretty simple. The day God saved my soul, He called me. Not only did He call me to salvation, but He called me to serve. He called me to be to the praise of His glory. And that is our calling. That is the calling of every child of God. You know what a calling does? A calling compels you. It compels you. And our calling from God ought to compel us to live for the spiritual. Again, as we said this morning, the time is short. We're either living for the spiritual or the temporal. We're either controlled by the spiritual or the temporal. God help us. God help us that our lives would center around the spiritual. That the spiritual would consume our lives. That the spiritual would consume our thoughts and our pursuits and our decisions. That the spiritual would take precedence. And I promise you, you'll be much happier. Your life will be much easier if you just get things in the right order. The spiritual comes before the temporal. And again, we're not saying, nor are we implying, that all temporal things are wrong, that all temporal things are sin. We're not saying that at all. But we do need to realize there is a danger in all temporal things. And the danger is it could draw us away from our main calling. If you're here and saved, you ought to rejoice that you're saved. But not only ought you to rejoice that you're saved, you ought to rejoice that you have a calling for life. God has already defined your life. You don't have to figure it out. He's already defined it. You have a life calling. And I would much rather live my life knowing my calling than trying to figure it out. My life calling is this: to be to the praise of His glory. That's your calling as well. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse song. Let's all stand.